Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh my gosh. One, hello everyone. And two, what a bop that was. Lady Gaga featuring Ariana Grande, Rain On Me. It's all a part of her new era, Chromatica. And it was the best song. The video dropped this morning. Oh my God. It's literally the best way to start Friday.
It was hot. And I love that she's going back to her dance music roots.
What? The Paris Hilton? It was hot?
I love
it. Where did that come from? Where did that
whatever
come
I
from?
Say will never be good enough for you, Ryan, when I describe music. So whatever, I give up.
It's okay, it's okay.
But as you know what, Lady Gaga, what Lady Gaga teaches me is to be myself and to own my power. So, you know, F you.
I mean, that's hot, for sure. No, but seriously, such a good song. We have been playing it here on Channel Q all day at the top of every hour. Expect to hear it very soon once more again. You're going to be hearing it all throughout today. It's so amazing, so good. I've been streaming it nonstop. It's my song. I'm loving it. I feel so sad to know that Corona just impacted, you know, her promotion tour, Lady Gaga's promotion tour. It sucks. We would have got a full-on performance. It would have been amazing.
But it seemed like it didn't stop her. There's a great interview that she did with someone on Apple Music that's being shared everywhere. So go check that out.
Yeah.
Check out the music video too, because it's a lot of fun. And I love her pink hair. I had pink hair once, just saying. So me and Lady Gaga were like two peas in a pod.
Sure.
All right, today's show is great.
Sisters.
Today's show is great. Of course, we're going to be playing that Mark Cuban interview, and he definitely drops a lot of knowledge. So stay tuned for that. And what to know before you hit the beach and pool this weekend. Let me tell you, this was information that I wanted to know about. But let's get into what's trending this hour right now. The Atlanta area district attorney now prosecuting the fatal shooting of Ahmaud Arbery spoke for the first time about the case today, pledging to make sure that we find justice for a broken family and community. Georgia Bureau of Investigation Director Vic Reynolds said that at this point, we feel confident the individuals who needed to be charged have been charged. Well, it took enough time, right? And their news conference follows the arrest yesterday of 50-year-old William Roddy Bryan Jr. on charges of felony murder and criminal attempt to commit false imprisonment, because, you know, he was the man whose cell phone video of Arbery's shooting led to the arrest of the father and son, Gregory and Travis McMichael, on murder and aggravated assault charges more than 2 months after the slaying. But, you know, he was still free. He's the one who captured it on video.
He was the one that was going around acting like he was a hero. He was really playing into that to try to switch up the narrative. But guess what? We saw right through it. And now you're going to jail, too. So enjoy those bars.
All right. Well, Trump today called on governors to open places of worship, deeming them essential businesses.
Today, I'm identifying houses of worship, churches, synagogue, and mosques as essential places that provide essential services. Some governors have deemed liquor stores and abortion clinics as essential, but have left out churches and other houses of worship. It's not right. So I'm correcting this injustice and calling houses of worship essential. I call upon.
Meanwhile, during that same press briefing, Dr. Brooks from the Coronavirus Task Force gave her advice to the public going into Memorial Day weekends.
Healthy people out there with COVID look healthy. And so we're asking continuously for you all to be outside, to enjoy your Memorial Day weekend, to play golf, to hike, as Dr. Fauci said, to play tennis with Mark balls, and to be out with your families that you have been in the household with, and to even consider sharing social distance space as long as you have utensils that are belong to individuals and that maybe can be thrown out immediately. There's a lot of things to think through. I know you can do this. I know the American people can do it. And so please, as you go out this weekend, understand you can go out, you can be outside, you can play golf, you can play tennis with marked balls, you can go to the beaches if you stay 6 feet apart.
Okay, a lot there to take into account. We can have fun, but be responsible. But coming up, Joe Biden just slipped up again, and this time it could impact his support from Black voters. We're playing the awkward clip next.
Listen, you got to come see us when you come to New York, VP Biden.
I will.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't Black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community. You know.
All right. Well, that came from a nearly 20-minute interview with Charlamagne Tha God on The Breakfast Club. Joe Biden spoke about his plans for African-American communities. And that response you just heard is what is making headlines, to say the least.
I mean, yeah, I felt like it was such a tone-deaf response from him. I know Charlamagne and him, they probably have a rapport. I just felt like this is something you say at the kitchen table, even if you have friends who are comfortable, like you're comfortable around. But when you're on a national platform, I just felt like it was a little bit tone-deaf. And yeah, I just didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
It was weird. It was awkward. Well, back with us is Richard Fowler, who's a Fox News contributor. And I know, Richard, you have been covering the story a lot today.
Yes, this story has been a good chunk of my day. And as we're talking, there's some news that comes that's coming from the vice president's camp. During a Zoom conference or call with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce this afternoon, mm-hmm. the U.S. Black Chamber of Commerce, Joe Biden said the following. He found the remarks to be really unfortunate, said he shouldn't have been such a wise guy. He shouldn't have been so cavalier in responding. And he goes further to say no one should have to vote for any party based on their race or religion or background.
All right. Is that enough of an apology? And like, what's your take on this, Richard?
Listen, I think this. I think that the Biden camp, he shouldn't have made that comment. I think we could all agree there. The comment was sort of said in jest and was, you know, very cavalier, as the vice president described it himself. But remember, elections are all about contrast, Sharon Ryan. It's about contrasting one candidate versus the other. And let's be very real. We know that the vice president, he cares about, he understands the importance of having meaningful conversations in with Black media, owned and operated Black media, with radio hosts, with small media enterprises. On the mm-hmm. other hand, the current president of the United States, he doesn't, right? I mean, just think about his comments. In 2016, he said very clearly that what do Black people have to lose by voting for him? And now we know in 2020, that Black people have everything to lose, seeing that the coronavirus has disproportionately affected communities of color. And this White House's response, if I was being nice, I would say it was flat-footed. Right. If I was being mean, I would say that we haven't had a response to the fact that the coronavirus is killing people of color more than any other group in the United States.
If you're just now joining us, we are talking with Fox News' Richard Fowler. And Richard, I feel like there is such an entitlement here from the Democratic side, and I think a lot of Black people are picking up on this, where it seems like what he was saying felt like, oh, well, just because you're Black, you have no other choice but to vote for me. And so I think that really turned a lot of people off. So what do you say to people that feel that way, that are saying, you know, just because I'm Black, I don't have to vote for you?
Absolutely, right? Listen, I am the person, I define my Blackness. As a Black gay man, I define how I want to use my Blackness, how I want to be an agent in my Blackness, all of these things. And I think more than ever, we need that. You should work for our vote. Mm-hmm. It's a quid pro quo, right? We vote for you, and in exchange for voting for you, you push forward what is the things that we care about in our community. And I think every Black voter, and every voter for that matter, should take a look at both candidates' records and see which candidate they feel is the best to vote for outside of the rhetoric, right? It's outside of the rhetoric, what are their actions? And what you have is you have one candidate who's telling the American people, we need a plan on how we come back from the coronavirus. We need a targeted plan on how we improve the lives for African Americans. And on the other hand, you have another candidate telling you to drink bleach and you have another candidate telling you to take hydroxychloroquine, even though all the experts have indicated that hydroxychloroquine isn't a cure for the coronavirus. It actually can harm you. Which candidate do you want?
Richard, did you see that clip of the woman in Detroit who says she got over it? Yeah, that was crazy.
Let's not even talk about her. She don't even deserve it.
Anyway, Richard Fowler, I thank you for being with us. I was going to ask, Republicans are calling him now racist, but it's just like the irony of it all, really.
Oh, I mean, that's the crazy part. Republicans are calling him racist, and yet still we're waiting. It took weeks for him to respond to the Ahmaud Arbery shooting.
Right.
So, but I'll just leave that right there.
Exactly. Richard Fowler, thanks again for being with us. You can watch Richard on Fox News. He's a contributor there. Now coming up, trans icon and activist Ashley Marie Preston joins us to share more about her change.org campaign that's asking companies to donate their pride budgets to individuals in need in the LGBTQ+ community. That's next. Every June, we all come together for Pride around the world, and those events are typically paid for by corporate sponsorships and donations. But you know, with everything canceling and shifting because of the pandemic, many are wondering how can they best use those budgets now to support the community. Social impact strategist and civil rights activist Ashley Marie Preston is back with us now to share more about the hashtag Pride Pledge she just started. Thank you so much for being here again.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. This is a really big deal and such a great idea. Tell us what inspired you to start the hashtag Pride Pledge.
I think it was coming from a place of understanding that all of the Pride festivals across the nation were canceled. And so it was an opportunity to not only salvage Pride, but salvage millions of dollars that were earmarked for those Pride festivals and thinking about how we can strategically pivot those funds toward vulnerable members of the LGBTQ community who could use it the most right now.
So with this project, who are you going after or who are you asking to say, hey, this is what you all should be doing now, especially since times have changed?
Right. Well, initially, the corporations that we're starting with are the corporations that are listed as Pride sponsors on most of the Pride websites. So if you actually go to LA Pride, San Francisco Pride, New York City Pride, Miami Beach Pride, Traveled, she knows all of them. Like, you go to all of those websites and you will see who they are. And many of them had already committed to 2020. And so what many of the queer consumers don't understand is that these funds were allocated 6 months to a year ago. Mm-hmm. So they were already approved. So it's not like we're asking them to kind of scramble and come up with these funds.
This ain't their money.
Yeah, they're sitting there neatly stacked on a shelf.
We are talking to activist Ashley Marie Preston about her campaign, hashtag Pride Pledge. And we know that a lot of brands are still going to be sponsoring virtual prides. Where else are you hoping for them to put their money? I mean, is it possible to do both?
Even the thing is, like I said, Pride, the sponsorships go anywhere from $10,000 to $1 million. Mm-hmm. And that's just per event, per sponsor. So the thing is that even if we got like 1% of the money that they're spending on these festivals annually, it's minuscule compared to the revenue they're still going to get. When Colin Kaepernick took that knee, all of a sudden, Nike picked them up and Nike stocks shot up. Right. We know that when Chick-fil-A came out with all that homophobic mess, Popeyes started their own chicken sandwich. And all of a sudden, people were wrapped around the block. Cardi B was like taking a limo through the drive-thru just to get that sandwich. And so we understand that this is the era of the conscious consumer, and it's no longer feasible and acceptable to have these corporate sponsors in our safe space who say one thing, but then when the rubber meets the road, they're doing something different.
Ashley, what are you thinking the disconnect is? Because it feels like they're just saying, well, we'll give a little bit of money here, and they'll really put all the effort into something else that's a little bit more mainstream.
Well, there's a couple of pieces. I know one is that we're actually being left out of the national conversation around it.
Yes.
And I think that's huge right now because I'm actually running a separate fundraiser and campaign called hashtag You Are Essential. And so Pride Pledge is actually a sub-initiative underneath that. The thing is that we already, again, this money, we're not asking them to scramble and reinvent the wheel. If we did ask them to take it from somewhere else, then that is a longer process. But this is money that they already promised to the community, and more specifically to LGBTQ business owners. And I see other people partnering with some of the larger orgs. Like, say, for instance, like, again, like, you know me, I go there. Glad. Yes. I know that Skittles just came out and they're like, you know, give a rainbow. We're going to take the colors away from the candy. We don't need you to give a rainbow. We need you to give the funds that you already had earmarked toward the community members who need it. Because to be honest with you, GLAAD is doing amazing work. I'm going to give the girls their roses.
Yeah.
And we know that GLAAD isn't working on housing instability for queer people. We know that GLAAD isn't addressing food insecurity. We know that GLAAD is not working to center undocumented queer folks who are being targeted amid the pandemic because people are distracted and they're going to get deported back to these countries where they're going to be put to death. Right. We know that GLAAD is not speaking to sex workers who are impoverished and who are out in the middle of the pandemic. We know that GLAAD is not working with incarcerated queer folks right now who are actually not only prone to exponential violence and assault, but on top of it, we know that populations in prison are also a growing number of the COVID-19 cases. And so it's about our priorities as a community. And I don't think giving a dollar for every bag of colorless candy that you sell and giving it to GLAAD is going to be enough to help save queer lives and help us feel proud about this Pride Month.
Whoa, and preach, part, yeah.
And I mean, you said it so perfectly. And that person you're hearing, if you're just now joining us, is Ashley Marie Preston. She is a civil rights activist and the creator of Pride Pledge, hashtag Pride Pledge. And it's asking corporations to pivot funds that they aren't using on Pride festivals this year. So let's just say this, how can people get involved?
People get involved. So we have a petition on change.org. So far we have almost 1900 signatures. And we've been in, have a couple of public figures and celebrities who are sharing it. So sign the petition definitely. And we also want to hold our organizations accountable and make sure that they aren't pimping out the LGBTQ community for their own capitalistic corporate interests, because we have become the very thing that we're trying to dismantle at the macro. We've kind of started to create that at the micro level. Mm. And so again, it's realizing that it's about accountability, and accountability isn't a bad thing. It's the thing that makes relationships stronger.
Long-term sustainability. Yes. Ashley Marie Preston, thank you so much for being here with us again. Always a pleasure. You're awesome. Love what you're doing.
I love me some Ashley. I really do.
Yeah, Ashley Marie Preston is an award-winning personality, as you can see, to say the least. Social impact strategist, political analyst, and civil rights activist, doing great work. Up next, can you catch coronavirus from swimming? A doctor joins us to explain how to stay safe at the pool and beach this weekend. That's coming up next. It's Memorial Day weekend, and many Americans will be hitting the pool or finding a beach to spend the holiday. And joining us is Dr. Claudia Finkelstein to explain how you can stay safe from coronavirus if you choose to hit the water this holiday weekend. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Okay, so this is a question I have too. Can you catch coronavirus while swimming? I've been wondering this, or even at the beach, like, how does this all work?
It's a great question. I think that one of the things is that we are surfing during some uncertain times. So the novel coronavirus means mm-hmm. it's new. And so there's a lot we don't know yet. But what we do know is that it's carried predominantly in droplets, that pools, hot tubs, anything that's been treated with chlorine seems to be very safe and inactivate the virus immediately. However, if you are yelling and screaming and delighting and the droplets are flying, you're not so safe from those droplets. So once they've hit treated water, you're good. But running into somebody else's droplets in the air, not so good. Which is why the 6 feet is very important.
I mean, speaking of droplets, on a day that Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande dropped a song called Rain On Me, wow. But I do want to know, what are some specific ways, like you said, like, besides just droplets, should we be wearing masks in the pools? Like, what are some ways that people could kind of avoid that?
It's a really great question. So I think it seems crazy to wear a mask in the pool. I think that the ideal things would be to go with your quarantine buddies, right? So people who you know, who you believe have been adequately safe and not exposed, and you are doing the same. So you sort of expand your quarantine bubble to include people that you know. So
Shira has those. She's actually with a couple of those.
I have a couple. You have a couple, Ryan. You're like dragging me. By the way, we're talking to Dr. Claudia Finkelstein. I'm just shifting right here before I get dragged. No, but I actually do. I'm away for a weekend, and we decided to create a what is called, according to this article, a quarantine bubble. Can you explain this phenomena?
Absolutely. So some people have been isolating at home with too many people and they can't wait to get out, right? With teenagers or toddlers. Other people like me, I've been isolating alone, right? Yeah. And after a while, it starts to get a little solitary. So if you have people who you know and trust, both sides of the equation or all three sides of the equation, how many of you there are, trusting that the others have not been recently exposed, have been abiding by social distancing and mask wearing and hand washing, and are all relatively low risk, then you can expand your bubble from your one self to a group of people. So this is like network isolation.
Mm, whoa. Interesting. But I do want to know, though, what's the bigger risk here, going to the beach or being at a pool? Because a lot of times people don't live in a house where they have their own pool. They live in apartments where it's a community thing. So what's the bigger risk here?
That's a really great question. I guess it depends on which beach, which pool, right? So if you can find a not too populated beach where people will, you know, the wild card is what are other people going to do, right? If you can be pretty isolated in an area on the beach, that's great, all right? If, you know, in terms of the pool, I think the main danger is the common surfaces. Although the CDC came out today and said that they're maybe not as dangerous as we thought.
What about the sand? Like, I always think about sand. Can you get it from sand?
That's a great question.
That is a good question. I didn't even think about that.
Because I sit, I actually walk to the beach and I do, I'm not near people at all. Thankfully, it's been pretty empty. But I think, oh, what if someone was sitting here and they have it or something like that?
I think that's a really great question. And I think, unfortunately, that's one of the things we don't know. I think people theorize that exposure to just air and sun is, you know, like the virus doesn't love to be in a dry spot, right?
And but, hot, right? So yeah, yeah, if there's sun on it. And then what about, I've heard there was an article in, that came out in LA where it was like, if you go to the beach, the droplets can go, I don't know, the air because of the water or something like that.
There's two things. There's droplets and there's aerosol. Okay, so droplets are the heavy stuff, and that's the stuff that is well contained with almost any kind of face covering. A bandana pulled up, you know, a gaiter, a mask. So, so the aerosol question, I think, stay, keep the distance.
Yeah, over 6 feet even. All right, well, yes. Thank you so much for joining us for this. Dr. Claudia Finkelstein, we appreciate it.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
All right. Coming up in the next hour, a guy who is marrying his cat. This is where we're heading in quarantine, but it's for a good cause. That's coming up in a special version of our WTF News Roundup next. We are back. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q. And I'm feeling the vibes going into this long weekend. It's almost here. It's so close. I could taste it.
I bet you can.
And of course, in the next hour, we are talking to the one and only Mark Cuban.
Yes, we are. And I love him. And seriously, I need to take him up on my adoption claim. He said he was going to adopt me and I haven't received my paperwork yet. It's hard out here in the pandemic. I need some help. I just want the allowance, to be honest.
I mean, I'm sure you do. No, but he said you would have to work for it. He is not.
He already knows.
He's not one of those. He's going to just give it away. He makes his kids work for that money.
Well, guess what? His kids would probably hate me because I would come in being the hardest working person they would ever meet. And then I would make them jealous. And then they would try to be like, oh, let me step it up. Let me step it up. But guess what? I already got the inheritance.
Very interesting strategy you have there.
Yes, well, it's normal.
Well, let's get into what's trending this hour, shall we? Because today, this is a very important day. It's hashtag Harvey Milk Day. And actually, that's, you know, everyone's sharing things about Harvey Milk on Twitter today in honor of what would have been his 90th birthday. And here's Governor Gavin Newsom honoring the LGBTQ icon and leader.
It is a remarkable thing to think about, not just 90 years, but think about a legend and the legacy of Harvey Milk. And when you think about Harvey Milk, you think about San Francisco, you think about Bay Area, you think about the spirit and the pride that he personified. And so as an expression of our collective faith and devotion to the cause of equality, what more can we do except what we do every single year? And that's come together and say, thank you, Harvey.
Wow, and a great time also to catch up on the award-winning biopic that came out years ago, Milk, with Sean Penn, actually. So yes. why don't you watch that this weekend?
Actually, I might, to be honest. I really like that movie, and it's such a huge part of history. So yes, everyone, let's do a watch party.
Yes. All right, so let's move on to some other headlines. As many as 80 million babies worldwide under one are missing out on routine childhood vaccines because of the pandemic, and that's according to the World Health Organization. The pandemic has disrupted vaccination programs in at least 68 countries. So that's really scary because I'm sure, you know, some of those places definitely need that right now. Now, a lawyer who represented Tara Reid, the woman who has accused Joe Biden of sexually assaulting her in 1993, announced today that Reid is no longer his firm's client. Okay, Doug Wigder said the decision to no longer represent Reid was made on Wednesday, the day after CNN published that extensive investigation about Reid's background and past statements. And in the report, CNN first revealed problems with Reid's claim that she received a Bachelor of Arts degree from Antioch University in Seattle. And actually, the school denied to CNN that she ever graduated from the university. So they were starting to see some lies, some red flags. And that says a lot, if now her lawyers dropped her. All right. Okay, this is a fun one also to watch this weekend on Disney Plus. Out, a short film that features Pixar's first gay main character, was released today. The film, which is part of the platform's Spark Short series, follows the story of Greg, whose excitement about moving in with his boyfriend Manuel is undercut by his anxiety over not being out to his parents. And then when Greg's parents come to visit him at his new apartment, Greg tries to hide the evidence of his relationship, but his fairy god pets, a magical dog and cat, encourage him to tell his parents the truth. I love this. Again, it's called Out, and it's on Disney Plus right now.
I do too. I saw this morning, and just to think about my 10-year-old self needing a film like this, it's so wonderful and it's so needed at a time like this. So thanks, Pixar.
Yes, we love it. All right, that was our What's Trending This Hour. More in the next hour right here on Let's Go There. But coming up, why a California man is planning to marry his cat. That and more in our WTF News Roundup.
The ADA tells them that you cannot make people wear a mask. It's not our laws at all. This is just made up by Bill Gates and them, and by you wearing that. Seriously, think about it. You're breathing out your toxic air, and you're breathing in the same air. Yeah. You're making your lungs, you're killing your antibodies. Yeah. So if there's a cold that comes around November, you're getting sick. You're making yourself sick. You're making, breathe.
Yeah, you're spitting out too.
No, baby, that's not what's going to make you sick. You're alive. Go look on the package, and it will tell you. It will not protect you from COVID-19. You are hurting yourself. Don't stop being lied to. They want to kill all
the
Mexicans.
Do you believe in the COVID?
They want to kill all the black people. They want to kill everybody. Watch out what you're being told. You're being lied to.
Do you believe in it?
Do I believe in the COVID? I believe there's a virus, but it's not what they say. It's like any other virus. They have 99% cure. 99%. So what kind of a virus is that? We all had viruses. We all get colds. You're being lied to. Please do your due diligence. Read, do your research. Don't let the government fool you. Be smart. Please, for your sake. Because what's happening is she's hurting her antibodies in her body. She's breathing in the toxicity and the carbon monoxide that is going to make her sick. She's not getting enough breath in her lungs, which is going to cause her lungs to weaken. It's all damaging. Look it up for yourself. Go online and look it up.
I will.
Take my word. Thank you.
Okay, there. That was the latest in conspiracy theories from yet another Karen. I'm sorry. There's just too many good ones out there, and it's just too easy to start our WTF roundup with that.
They're going wild out in the streets, and I am living for the quality content.
For real. We should actually get our infectious diseases doctor to debunk all of this, I think. It's time.
Well, no, because he's not a psychologist, and you can't predict that type of crazy.
Let's move on to this story, Ryan. A California man is planning to marry his cat.
Yeah, so the judgment is flowing through my body very heavy right now because I'm just like, what is happening? He's marrying his cat, an animal?
I know. I mean, we will go to great lengths to connect during quarantine with something.
Yeah.
The man himself, Scott Perry, is actually joining us right now in Los Angeles with his love. And his bride now, has it actually happened? Olivia, his cat. Scott, welcome to the show.
Hello there. How are you?
Hi. Wow. Olivia looks really happy.
I mean, Olivia.
She's totally ecstatic. Yeah, she's itching to go outside right now. I work from the dining room table with a lovely view outside, and she just loves the sun on the porch, so I get to keep an eye on her while I work. But yeah, she is itching something fierce to get out there. So how are you guys doing?
Well, you know what they say, good. Happy wife, happy life.
Exactly, exactly.
Yes, and I guess it doesn't matter what species they are. we're doing good. You know, we came across your story, and we thought, well, there has to be more to this person marrying their cat, you know? This can't be, because this seems pretty weird. If I was to think and just read this on the web, be like, wow, that guy is a little creepy, but there's a good cause.
On the surface, it does sound crazy, but it is for a good cause. I mean, I've grown up with animals all my life, and I've always found them to be very comforting. And, you know, we're in the middle of kitten season. And because it's kitten season, animal shelters and foster homes need support more than ever. And I thought a good way to bring attention to that would actually be to have a wedding with my cat, whom I adopted from Best Friends Animal Society about 5 years ago.
Okay.
And so it's a great way to raise money and bring awareness to the fact that it is kitten season. And not only that, animals have been a good source of comfort for humans who've been locked in quarantine. You know, so it's been a nice form of company as well.
Okay, so did you actually legally marry your cat, or is this just all to promote a great cause?
It's all flourish. Just, you know, commit to the cat. You know, it's like, but having an animal is a lifelong commitment, and so some people tend to forget that, you know, in good times and in bad. But you want to hold on to your pet for as long as you both live. You know, and they're wonderful sources of happiness. Whether it's a cat, a dog, a parakeet, a turtle, whatever people enjoy as their, you know, animal companion. It's always a wonderful thing. So yeah, it happens to be Olivia. I grew up with a German Shepherd named Bear and a calico cat named Sweetheart. And so, you know, for the first time in my adult life to have an animal again has brought me great joy over the years.
Aww.
So can I just ask you this? Because I always wonder this when it comes to cat people. What made you a cat person? Because I'm a dog person, and I just feel like there's clear distinctions.
Oh, my gosh. No, I love dogs. I really, really do. In fact, I live a block away from a dog park, and every time people walk by with their dogs, I have to, like, talk to the dog. Never to the human, but always to the dog.
It's okay. Just,
yeah, but, I mean, for a while, I was traveling a lot, and I never had time to commit to a dog as much as you do because, you know, a cat is fairly independent and can do their own thing without you for a long time. But a dog is always there. And whenever I would have friends, when I babysit friends' dogs, when they were out of town, the second they discovered that I have a dog park a block away, game over. I never got any more work done for the rest of the day because the dog would always want to go outside. And I'd be more than happy to take the dog so they could just run around.
So, well, Scott Perry joins us right now. And we found him because of this headline that he decided to marry his cat. I actually saw this on people.com, but he's doing it for a good cause to raise awareness about cat adoption, actually. So besides your cat and your blossoming relationship, you are single.
Yep.
Right. And yep. So has this helped or hurt your ability to find someone?
And do you find?
I have no idea. You know, I mean, if a woman sees a picture of a cat on my dating profiles and they swipe left because I have a cat, I'll never know. If they swipe right because I have a cat, well, then I guess that's one more advantage, but we still have to match.
Yeah. And finally, as we wrap things up, where can people find out more and to support what you're doing?
If you go to Instagram, my handle is at Scott Perry, S-C-O-T-T-P-E-R-R-Y. There's a link for people that want to donate to the Best Friends Animal Society, or just donate to your local shelter, Humane Society, Amanda Foundation, whatever it is. You know, support your local fosters. But at Scott Perry, noon PST on Saturday, the 23rd of May, is when Olivia and I will get married live. So that's it.
So I am so excited to introduce our next guest. He is just a great human being, but also known as, like, one of the stars of Shark Tank.
Oh, for sure.
a very known entrepreneur, investor. I feel like he's everyone's like hero. Everyone's like a fan.
Well, also, you know, I did tease and say I was going to see if I can get a dollar out of him because I know you only got a nickel.
I'm trying to squeeze you out.
No. All right. Mark Cuban is joining us right now. Mark, welcome to Let's Go There.
Hey, thanks, Shira. Thanks, Ryan.
So just to give you context, I was saying how every time I'm in a bad place and like I'm like, okay, maybe Mark will invest in my idea, and I always go to you and he always gives me the great tough love, which I always appreciate. And how once we found like something small, like a dime or a nickel on the floor, and you're like, here, this is your
I love that. I'm like, well, guess what? I'm going to be tasked with getting a dollar out of them.
You know what? You know, but Cher, whenever you need me someplace to help, I'm always there. Right?
I know. I'm totally messing with you. But I should have kept that because I was going to frame it saying Mark Cuban gave me this, invested in me or something like that.
No, you're
anyway.
Better off just spending it.
Exactly. All right. So one, I know you've been so busy in the news. Like, I love how you are always so outspoken on everything going on and you're accessible. It's like such a rarity. And many people see you on screen and like your personality. But I would say like you are that person in real life. Like there's no, it's not like, oh yeah, he just plays that or he just wants to talk and help and share his views. Like you are that person all around.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just, I am who I am. Right. It's just whatever. And if you don't like it, that's your problem.
That's my motto, right? I think you can't get to a place where you are worrying about other people, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, look, I try to be compassionate. I try to be nice. You know, I try to help. But, you know, when I'm on a mission, it's either get out of the way or get on the train, you know, and you know, that's just the way I've always been. And that just, to me, that just means being honest and being authentic.
Yeah.
You know, Cher knows, I just hate fake people. You know, if you try to play a game, if you try to game me, then we're just not going to get along.
Where are you from, by the way?
Pittsburgh.
Oh, so you're an East Coaster. I'm from Nashville. So I kind of, I have that vibe. I get that.
Yeah, you got that Southern Midwestern duo thing working. Yeah.
Exactly. So, Mark, you're in Dallas right now at home, right? You're quarantining. How is your quarantine going?
Well, it started off not bad, right? I mean, look, I'm not going to complain. We've got it pretty nice here in, you know, the Cuban Hacienda, but probably about 3 weeks ago, I've got three kids, 10, 13, and 16. And up until then, we were in charge, my wife and I. Mm-hmm. Then it went downhill real fast. Now the inmates are taking over the asylum. I can't get my 10-year-old son off the couch. He's just playing video games all day long. My two girls won't leave their rooms except to come down and eat. And then it's just like, honk, take their food and go back upstairs. So it's been an adventure.
Oh my God. I'm sure this has been like the most or longest you've been home because you travel so much. You're so busy. Like, yeah. What's that like? I feel like for people that are like entrepreneurs or like pride of themselves on being jet setters and busy, this is a crazy different time.
Yeah. I mean, I love to stay home. And I like it actually. And I'm a huggy kissy dad, right? I'm always hugging him and giving him a kiss. And that just annoys the hell out of him. And so, you know, it's different for me to be home some, but I love it. I mean, there's been so many positives in terms of just spending time with family that, you know, I love that part of it.
Well, Mark, just threaten him and say, well, if y'all don't act right, then I'm going to adopt Ryan. He'll come in and run the joint.
No, we That's already got that going do. On with one of my middle daughter's friends, right? Can we adopt Winnie? Her friend, and can we adopt Winnie? Come on, you got to let, Ryan, I'm bringing you home. I think that'll work.
He'll also crack the whip. He's actually very disciplined.
I don't play no games with no kids. Straight. Look, I come from a household, you know? But no, I feel like this has been such a moment, you know, where we're really reflecting and having time to slow down. Is there anything that you've learned about yourself in this moment where you kind of been reflecting?
My goodness. I've learned to be more patient, that I'm not as patient as I should. I've gotten toilet duty, which I haven't done in a long time. And so, you know, doing chores and getting the kids to do chores. I always thought I could dance. My daughters have made it clear to me that my TikTok skills are not where they need to be. You know, but yeah, it's just, you know, just more patience because you just, you know, with kids, you just have to realize that as patient as I thought I was, it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And I've learned to try to deal with things with humor, which my kids absolutely hate because, you know, all dads have the worst sense of humor.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just trying to just be more understanding. I think I wasn't enough before. And I've learned that about myself now.
Wow, that's beautiful. By the way, I've seen you on TikTok because you know I'm on TikTok. I'm very impressed. By the way, he makes one of my moves too.
I do. So I know, look, I know TikTok is not my place to be and I'm not even going to try. I can't do the little
No,
dances.
It is. What do you mean?
I can't do the dances.
Oh, come on. Here you go, Ryan. Renegade, renegade, renegade.
Oh my God.
We should have done a virtual TikTok. Anyway, I think that's so amazing and important. Do you think you're going to obviously bring those lessons into your entrepreneurship and your work too? Because, you know, it's all connected in many ways.
Absolutely. You know, at the beginning, I think I didn't have as much patience and I've learned to have more, particularly now with kids. And really just the way the world has changed, particularly now with everything so upside down, you just got to learn to be nice. Everybody wants people to be nice, and you can't be successful in business anymore unless you put your employees, your vendors, everybody, you know, ahead of even profits. Because if you don't take care of people now when they're at their worst and struggling the most, you know, when would you ever do anything nice for anybody? And I think your customers, your potential customers, the people around your businesses, they all recognize that. And if you don't, if you aren't compassionate, if you aren't nice, then your brand's just going to get toasted and people are not going to want to do business with you ever again.
Definitely. Totally agree. And innovation is more important than ever before too. Now, coming up, find out how Mark Cuban thinks the side hustle will have a huge part in getting people back on their feet. That's next.
Okay. So if you are just now joining us, we have a very special guest, Mark Cuban, on the show today, giving us insight on how small businesses will forever be changed moving forward.
Yeah. So what are people supposed to be? What's your advice for small businesses who are kind of stuck in that in between and don't know what to do?
You know, you need to be agile. You need to go out to your customers and talk to them, you know, and find out ways that you can create revenue for yourself. Like talking to the lady who used to cut my hair, you know, sell me gift certificates, right? Let me pre-buy a bunch of cuts so that you can have some revenue coming in. You know, same with other services that I use. I have people cutting the yard just to create work for them, right?
Yeah.
And so just having talking to your customers, because remember, they're in the same boat. It's not like you're bad off and they're living life and loving life and there's no problems, right? This, you know, this is an equal opportunity virus.
Yeah.
And so by communicating with your customers, your vendors, you know, and just being honest and open and transparent with them, you might be able to come up with some ideas on better ways to do things. I've talked to a couple restaurants, some in Chicago that are higher end restaurants, that are making more money now because they went throughout the community and talked to people locally, said, order from us. We're just going to do pickup and delivery till 8 p.m. And they were able to cut back on their staff enough that they're making more money. Sonic drive-thru, which is a drive-in.
Ooh, I love me some restaurant. Sonic. Yes, it's in the South. It's in Nashville. Yes.
I haven't tried Sonic.
Yeah, so you know Sonic, right? You just drive up your car. Mm-hmm. Their business is actually way up.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
People are, you know, movie studios or movie theaters are creating drive-ins. And so, you know, if you're a small business, you have to be agile, you have to innovate, and you have to try to take advantage of all those government programs, PPP, EIDL, yeah, the income tax credits, because you paid your taxes, you deserve them.
You're an investor, obviously, Shark Tank, we all know. Is this whole, where we're at, is this whole thing going to change how you look at your future investments? Like, and, yeah, and now how are people supposed to pitch you?
So I think we're going through a complete reset. And when we get to the other side, when we start coming out of our houses, we don't want to see the same old stuff, right? There's an opportunity for somebody to come up with something just completely different, right? And that's what I'm going to be looking for. Somebody, whether it's a 16, 36, or 66-year-old, has got a vision of what America 2.0 should look like. Mm. Just like out of the dreck of the tech bubble bursting, we got Google, right? They had a better way. Not long after that, we got Facebook. 2010, 2011, when social media started to blow up, you know, we got Instagram and we got Snapchat. There's going to be great companies, world-class companies that are invented here in the United States of America. And those are the things that I'm looking for. Just the things that can change the game. That's one. And two, side hustles are going to kill it, right? So if you're in your community, you're going to be where people trust you. And mm-hmm. if you can sell things or offer services that you can do more economically than someone can do for themselves, and you find the people that have jobs and need things done, those side hustles are going to take off because people are going to want to help you and they're going to need the help. And so,
yeah,
you know, being in your community and whatever it may be that you have the ability to do, selling your time, I think that's really going to blast off as well.
At a time like this, more than ever, people are really holding, you know, millionaires, billionaires, these landlords accountable to see if how genuine they are going to be. And if they are showing up in a time like this, what do you have to say to this? And have you been faced with these same responses?
You know, I just try to do the best I can. You know, I keep on paying our employees, even with the businesses that are closed. You know, we take money, my foundation and the Mavs Foundation, and we're helping people as much as we can. I'm pushing for jobs programs. You know, I'm part of the Economic Reopening Council at the White House. So I'm pushing for jobs programs so that we can hire millions of people who are out of work and bring them back to work. You know, historically, when we've had financial problems or economic problems like this, right, they've tried to do the whole trickle down economics thing, and that doesn't work. So I'm the one guy that's pushing that we need to do trickle up economics. We need to get money and jobs in particular in the hands of people who don't have them now, because if they don't have money to pay their own bills and to pay their overhead and to buy things, there's no businesses that are going to stay alive, because we've never seen anything like this, within 6 weeks, 7 weeks, we've lost 30 million jobs.
Yeah.
So the old tired ways don't work. So we have to change the game. And that's what I'm trying to do.
So you're on this committee. Are they listening to you? Who else are you talking to all the time? Are there daily calls? Like, how does this work?
So there's a big committee. There's a bunch of big committees, and we only had one call. But to their credit, and you know, I'm not a Donald Trump fan, but to his credit, I'll give credit where credit's due. They assigned me a liaison. And that person talks to me almost every day via email or phone call. And every idea that I've had, they've at least listened. And he said he's put it in front of the right person. And I know he has. They haven't implemented anything. And I understand, you know, some of my ideas are not the way they typically think. But at least they're reacting and they're listening. And so I give them credit for that.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, how are people supposed to deal with the reopening of the country or the Trump administration right now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's tough because they're trying to play politics, and not just Trump, but also, you know, governors across the country. When you use the word open, that suggests you want to open everything up. And so that's become, you know, a very hard word, right? It's very dramatic, you know. And so what I've said to them is, let's look at what's worked. So in most cities, you can get pickup and delivery, right, from your local restaurant, you know, grocery stores, even Amazon, obviously, you're ordering online and they're delivering. So rather than talking about opening up retail or customer facing stores, let's talk about extending what works. And so what I've recommended hardly or with a lot of passion, I should say, is that we extend that pickup and delivery to any business that wants to do it. Right. So I don't care if you're a hardware store, you're a clothing store, whatever it is, you sell water, you sell microphones, you know, why not just try to extend your business to pickup and delivery?
Thanks again to Mark Cuban for joining us. He was such a pleasure, wasn't he, Ryan?
Oh, my God. He was the best. And he wants to adopt me. But you have to find that out once you listen to the full interview. I'm just saying.
So hilarious. Well, yeah, we have more of that amazing conversation on our podcast where Mark discussed the future of the NBA and live concerts as well. And if he's going to be leaving his kids any money.
It's a 30-minute conversation. So get into it. Go check out the podcast.
Yes, we are channelq.com. And of course, the podcast on radio.com. Search Let's Go There and subscribe. Now coming up, a crime you won't believe that happened between a father and a son over a Zoom call. That's next in 10 minutes.
Yes. Oh my God. I can't get enough of this song. I know we played it at the top of the show, but like ending it in our last hour and starting it with our last hour. Rain on Me, Lady Gaga, Ariana Grande, from her hit album coming out, Chromatica. It is such a bop. I love it. I love it. I love it. It literally gives me so much energy.
Yes, I'm going to be dancing to that this weekend.
I mean, you better. You're like in the desert somewhere, so you should. Like,
just, I am somewhere.
You can really be like in the Stupid Love video in the middle of nowhere just doing the choreo.
Yeah, I'll be doing that on TikTok. Watch out. I'm coming for you, TikTok, this weekend. Don't say anything, Ryan. Ryan gave me an eye roll.
I didn't say anything, but you know what? I accept you for you.
I appreciate it. That's what I'm talking about. All right, let's get into some what's trending this hour. This story is tragic and crazy. A man was fatally stabbed in front of people that he was in a meeting with on Zoom virtually. Okay, so imagine you're in a meeting virtually like now, and then someone comes from the back. You're like watching me and you see someone just come from the back of me and start killing me. Suffolk County authorities received 911 calls from other participants on the call shortly after noon. Dwight Powers is this man's name. He was 72 and he was in Amityville when he was fatally attacked. Thomas Scully Powers, who's 32, his son, was arrested in the slaying. So he's the one who killed him.
And it's not like he can't say he didn't do it. We saw you on Zoom, dude. Like,
right? Exactly.
This is crazy. I try not to be morbid, but it's crazy that we haven't had a story like this earlier since all of this has happened. And it's so unfortunate because a son killing his dad. Like, what's going on?
Like, when he's on a Zoom meeting. Imagine you're in that Zoom room. Yeah. And you're like, no, and you just can't do anything. You're watching it. I can't even.
It's traumatizing. Right,
let's move on. But that's crazy. Now, Britain's mandatory quarantine on all arrivals has been slammed, with some critics saying it would make more sense to quarantine those traveling from the UK's worst hit regions to low risk ones. So Home Secretary Priti Patel today confirmed all travelers returning to the UK, listen to this, will face a mandatory 14-day period in quarantine from June 8th. So if you're thinking, oh, I'm going to travel to these places that are opening up, well, you better get your facts straight, because a lot of these places are making you quarantine for 2 weeks. Not like you can just go and jump into a vacation time. She said the move will help the UK protect the hard-won progress it has made in the fight against the coronavirus, and that tough border controls would help to prevent a devastating resurgence. Now, this is so weird. Trump honored veterans for Memorial Day in a pretty odd way. We're all about honoring veterans, of course.
Of course.
But here's a clip of him at the White House while bikers drove in circles to music blasting.
Get those engines started. I want to see you guys drive around and drive as fast as you can, but don't get hurt.
God bless America, right?
I mean, so weird. It's like, what is even happening anymore in this country?
It was so strange. This is like, it felt like it was out of an SNL sketch. Anyway, all right. Well, happy Memorial Day weekend to everyone. That was somewhat trending this hour, but we're moving into top stories in pop culture and entertainment news. So what's the tea?
All right. So coming up in the tea report, y'all, Kristen Bell just revealed something so embarrassing about her daughter. She's going to regret that. And then also, Diana Ross, Didn't Know I'm Coming Out was a gay anthem. All of that coming up and more. Don't y'all go anywhere. It's time for another Tea Report, giving you all those pop culture stories you probably missed. But honey, guess what? We got you covered. Let's get started with this hilarious moment on Momsplaining with Kristen Bell. It's her show where she sits down with some celebrity moms. And this episode, she revealed to Maya Rudolph and Casey Wilson that her 5-year-old still wears diapers.
Oh, oldest daughter. At 21 months, we merely suggested that she use the toilet in the other room.
Sure.
Never wore a diaper beyond that. And we were lying in bed giggling, my husband and I, like, why does everybody make such a big deal about this
potty training?
Potty training is like so easy. Just tell the kid to use the toilet. Currently, my youngest is 5.5, still in diapers.
Mm-hmm. So, Shira, you know, not to be judgy or anything, but this is a mess. I'm not a parent.
Literally.
I'm nowhere near close to being a parent. But there is just no way that my mother would have allowed me to be in diapers at age 5.5.
I mean, it seems questionable. It seems like something should be done. And I feel like they have the money to get, like, at least a professional trainer, like a toilet trainer or something.
Which is wild. Why do you even need that? And she joked about, and you hear her in the clip, she joked about, you know, kind of playing it. Her and Dax just kind of play it off where they're just joking. Like, what's so hard about this potty training thing? And then fast forward, she's 5.5, still in diapers. There needs to be some type of pushing there. Like, you got to get her, because she's about to be 6. Like, that's going to be embarrassing for her if her, like, when she goes to school and people find out she's in diapers still. That's not cute, honey. I'm sorry.
At the same time, listen, every child develops in different ways at different times. So we don't want to shame because, you know, like, one child does it earlier and another child does it later. It doesn't mean that a parent has done a bad job. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
no,
we also got to say that. What do you remember when? Do you remember when you were potty trained?
Actually, my mother told me at age 3 because I just texted her because I wanted to know, because I'm like, I told her this story and she's like, no, that is a mess. But also, I think. I also think it's probably going to be embarrassing for Delta when she grows up as well to find out that her mom told this story on a public platform saying she was 5 still in diapers. Oh, my God. But let's move on because, Shira, remember when how we joked about wanting to quarantine in Hawaii?
Oh, yeah. And we got some crap from a listener who was like, it's irresponsible to share that. And we're like, we're obviously joking. We're not flying to Hawaii tomorrow.
Right. Well, guess what? Kelly Ripa just revealed that she's been taping Live with Ryan and Kelly while in quarantine in the Caribbean due to the pandemic. So she's been there this entire time.
Life could be worse.
Yeah, I guess. But here's what happened. So her family, including her kids, were all on vacation when ABC told them that they had to shelter in place. Here's what she said happened. We had planned a trip for our entire family. And she said, and when we arrived, and 3 days later, the entire world changed. Really, I mean, everything shut down. The government shut down. Our country shut down. I feel like that turns into, it's beautiful that we're here. We get to relax. But at this point, I would be antsy being like, I'm ready to go back and lay in my own bed.
Yeah, but you're kind of like on vacation and doing your job. It sounds like a lot of fun.
True, but it's still, you know, sometimes when you're on vacation, it feels like, you know, you can be on vacation for too long. It's just like, that's not your home. You want to like be there for a minute and then go back.
I would assume after a month or so, you're kind of ready. But then she also lives in New York, so maybe she feels like this is the best decision. I mean, I feel like a beach hang while being on national TV does not sound bad to me.
Oh, it's most definitely cute. Now, here we go. We're going to wrap up the T report. And guess what? This is my favorite story. Diana Ross never knew that I'm Coming Out was a gay anthem. So I'm going to break everything down. Here's what it is. Music producer Nile Rodgers is coming out about Diana Ross's hit song, I'm Coming Out, saying she didn't even know that it was a, quote, gay thing. So Ross released her, you know, classic Diana album about like 40 years ago, and it went on to become her best-selling album of her career with hits such as Upside Down and obviously I'm Coming Out. Now, I Coming Out was the second single inspired after Nile actually saw a bunch of Diana Ross impersonators in the bathroom at at a club, and it's actually a predominantly transgender club in Midtown Manhattan back in the day. So Ross immediately loved the song. She's connecting with the empowering lyrics. And she didn't even realize that it was talking about I'm coming out the closet.
Yeah, because it's like the time has come for me to break out of my shell. I have to shout that I'm coming out. And it has been this like empowering female power song, right?
Yeah, she wasn't connecting the dots. But it's clear as day here that it's like, duh, it's a person coming out the closet, living their true selves. But it does show you, guess what? You can take any message out of that song. And I thought that was amazing. If you want to know more about this story, head over to WeirdChannelQ.com and keep us followed at LGT Show everywhere.
All right, coming up, want to help frontline workers? Well, we have an easy solution for you, and all it involves is texting. That's next on our Yaz Queen of the Day. It's time for our Yaz Queen of the Day.
Yes, Queen.
Now, would you return $1 million in cash if you found it?
Now, you know I'm a good person, but girl, I don't know about this one.
Well, listen, a Virginia family is being praised for their extraordinary honesty after they found and returned $1 million in cash.
The bag, there was little packages that were little plastic like bags, and they were addressed on the front of them, and it said cash vault.
The Shants called Caroline County deputies.
They found out that they've been riding around all day with almost $1 million in the truck.
Deputies are investigating. They believe the mailbags belong to the Postal Service and money inside meant for BB&T. How they ended up on the side of the road remains a mystery. Major Scott Moser paid the family a visit Monday.
To have someone so honest and won't just give that $1 million back is just exceptional on their part. And the two sons were there. I put the police lights on for them. But we're just very proud of them. And they really represented this county well by being so honest.
You do the right thing and return it because it doesn't belong to us.
I mean, I appreciate that. I wish more people were like that.
Well, it's not going to start here because for me, I would have at least taken a couple of dollars. And I probably, in all honesty, I would have just probably moved. We would have all packed up the house. We would have just moved our things. And I would have been like, kids, we're going on vacation. That's what we're going to do.
You and Coco. All right. Well, listen to how this went down, because I just find this so hilarious. They were on this weekend drive through Carolina County. They saw the car ahead of them swerve to avoid hitting a large bag in the road. They pulled over to the side, as you heard a bit in the report, so they could move it out of the way, and they assumed it was trash. So they grabbed the two bags off of the pavement and threw them into the trunk. And as you heard, it was only later that they realized that the plastic packages were filled with stacks of cash. So that is just hilarious. Like, imagine after that, you just like open it up, and instead of you thinking it's garbage, you realize it's a ton of cash. And the first thing I would have thought of was like, who's doing a drug deal or something? Like, this is drug money.
Right. I would have thought the same thing as well. But I don't know. It's just so interesting how stuff like this happens to people, where, you know, they check their bank accounts and there's like millions of dollars in their account because of something happening. That was my phone dropping. But yeah, it's just a mess. I just don't know how things like this happen, but I just wish it would happen to me.
Yeah. So Yasqueen, for honesty and for being a good human.
I mean, don't shame me, because I would take a couple dollars, Shira. I think I'm just human.
Of course. All right, speaking of humanity, there's this new thing called Text for Humanity. And actually, it originally launched in January to combat online negativity and promote sharing positive messages between strangers. But as we all moved into this crisis, hashtag Text for Humanity, it now enables people choosing to participate to identify themselves as either a frontline worker or someone living in isolation. And in turn, senders can choose the group they would like to send a personalized message of thanks and support to. And to date, more than 83,000 messages of positivity have been exchanged across 85 countries. I just think this is such a fun idea.
I do too. I think it's actually quite amazing how, like I said, people are being so innovative in a time like this, and they're thinking of incredible ways to really give back and do some amazing things. And also, this texting service is easy. I mean, it feels like it's just at the tip of your fingertips, right?
Yeah, right? Because not everyone has a ton of friends texting them. So yeah, this could really make someone's day. So this is how you join the service. Text JOIN, capitalized JOIN, to 37352. There's no charge for the service. And they're also enabled by WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, and obviously regular texting. And you can join from any phone, basically. And go to textforhumanity.com for more info. That's for, like, not the number four, like F-O-R, textforhumanity.com. And that does it for our Yas Queen of the day.
Yes, Queen.
Now coming up, Prince William and Kate's bingo with seniors who are stuck inside, and more next with our hashtag Made My Day moment. It's time for our hashtag Made My Day moment. We like to wrap up our show with this, where we share something that we found on social media that just made our day.
And honestly, why not end the show with something wonderful and positive?
Yeah, exactly. Now this clip is so cute. Prince William and Kate ended up doing some bingo virtually with a senior home, and it's just adorable to see the reactions from the seniors, because you could see that this moment just made their day.
And it's such a way to use Zoom. I just love this.
So the first number is 5 and 8, 58.
One little duck, number two.
8 and 7, 87. 6 and 2, tickety-boo.
Yay!
Now, Ryan, we can't always assume it's Zoom. It could be many other platforms.
Well, for the most part, I'm saying it's Zoom. It looks so cute. And it's just them calling out little numbers. I love that, because I don't really feel like I don't really see much when it comes to those two. I wasn't really sure if I liked, you know, Kate or anything, but that made me kind of like her.
All right. Well, that was our hashtag Made My Day moment. You can always share something with us that you want us to cover on the show. Just slide into our DMs at LGT Show.
So wait, Shira, did anything make your week this week? Because I know you're like, we've had a good week, and I feel like I had,
I know what I'm going to say.
What did you, what's made your week?
You know what was fun? Talking to JoJo, but then when she brought up the fact that she's into this book, The Artist's Way, and I happened to have that book right next to me.
Yeah.
I love that moment.
That is so cute. Oh my God. I felt like, yeah, my made my week has to go to JoJo as well, just because I've been a fan of her since I was probably 12. And so the fact that I was able to talk to her this week, just makes my life and my day. And a lot of people really like that interview. So if y'all haven't checked that out, head over to WeAreChannelQ.com because it's live there now and it's 30 minutes of good conversation.
Yeah. And of course we post everything as a podcast, by the way. Everyone always asks us, where can I find your show on demand? We post it as a podcast. Just go to the radio.com app, search Let's Go There, and subscribe so you're notified when we post new episodes. Mm-hmm. Now, coming up next week, because we have Memorial Day off, by the way.
Yes, so have a wonderful Memorial Day, y'all. Stay safe.
Yes.
Continue to social distance if you go out.
Exactly. And we'll be back on Tuesday. We have a great show, a great week of shows lined up for you. August Getty is joining us. He's, of course, a fashion designer, and also his sister-in-law is Gigi Gorgeous.
Yes, and he's also really rich.
Yeah, he's part of the famous Getty family. Anyway, that will be on Tuesday's show.
You know, the last time he was on our show, he invited me to his house so his mom can cook for me. You weren't there. You were hiking on Mount Everest or whatever you were doing.
Oh, yeah, those are the days.
Yeah, so you missed that invite. Travel. Maybe I'll remind him and maybe I'll invite you to come with me. That'll make your day.
I appreciate that. I could be third wheel. Maybe you guys will be on a date or something.
No, ew. I mean, okay. Oh my God. Friendship. Now you got me saying ew to our guests. No.
Friendship.
Yeah, okay, well, not all gay people have to sleep with each other, Shira.
Has this just unraveled? That is Tuesday, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Tuesday. Eastern, right here on Channel Q. We are sending you love and light.
And honey, remember to slay.
Have a great long weekend, everyone. Bye.